please welcome Ken Buchanan.
Well, when you see me come up here, you know it's almost time to go home, right? And when you see me go away, you can imagine that. But that's a different story. A different kind of lost and found. Once upon a time, I told another story, and you might remember that I was telling you about Basque terrorists in Madrid. The thing I never figured out was why the Basque were angry at that point, because at that point, Franco had been dead for, I think, 3 years. The people in Spain, most of them anyway, were delirious with freedom. They hadn't seen freedom in a long time. They'd forgotten what it even looked like. So they just made a party and figured it out and made it up as they went along. So the country was ecstatic. Prices were down. And what the hell, I was just a foreign contractor enjoying the lay of the land. But the Basque were upset, and so they had these bomb threats. And when they had a bomb threat, they would shut down all the major highways into Madrid. They would shut down, everything stopped. And one of the points of stoppage was just to the town side of the road that you would take off the main road to get to Iberia Airlines software development area where I worked. And so, yeah, this happened one morning, so everything was shut down. So let's leave it shut down for a minute, and let me fill in a little backstory. I decided that this time in Madrid, I would get I have always wandered from getting a new car to getting a clunker. I love clunkers because they break down, you get out, you walk away. It's not your car anymore. If you're smart, you take the license plates off. And if you have a new car, just enjoy it. I hope you don't spend too much time worrying about getting hit. Okay, so we have the Jack worried about the Basque terrorists. And if we back up, say, a year, then we find that Jack came to town with no car, but he decided this time he would look for a clunker. So I put out the word at work. And Brian Jewell comes and talks to me, and he says, "You want a clunker?" He says, "I have the clunker of all clunkers." But he said, "Do not be confused. This clunker will be on the road when all the new cars are forgotten." I said, "Okay." I said, "Any other benefits?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It has a tourist tag on it, a Dutch tourist tag." And I understood that to mean you can drive all over Spain, be as crazy with your car as you wanted. The chances of the Guardia Civil, who are primarily a fingernail factory, removal factory, you didn't have to worry about that because they're not going to bother with a car that says Dutch tourist plate, even if they can translate that. So if you essentially have a carte blanche on the roads of Spain. And I said, "Hey, this is worth more than the entire automobile." And so I got the car. I drove the car for a year. One of the first things I did was rip out the passenger seat because most of my life I've been a loner. I like it like that. take out the passenger seat, imagine how much storage space you have. You can drive down the highway, everything you need is going to be within reach. So I had rearranged the car to fit my needs. And when I went over to see the car, I met Brian's wife. Brian's wife was in Spain, not working for Unisys, not working for an airline. She was an agricultural researcher. She went into Spain and she essentially analyzed their agricultural methods and produced reports. And her name was Nasri, and she was Iranian, still is. And she was beautiful, she was intelligent, and I have had the fortune of knowing four great cooks in the world. And for that, I would live my entire life over. But she was one of the four. So we had a lovely dinner, and I paid them and went away with the automobile. During that time, I found that this was a Fiat, and I love Fiats, especially those that are not sold in the United States. This particular Fiat was, I think they only did it for a year or so, but it was a sedan. It wasn't the short, boxy type of Fiat. It was a long cruiser with a good wheelbase, a road hugger. And so things went well. I even one time, I moved up into the mountains, and one time I was on the way home to the mountains, and these two Guardia Civil guys were on the side of the road, and so they raised their hands, and I pulled over and stopped. I'm not cool. And so they said, are you going up to Miraflores? And I said, yeah, they said, can we get a ride? I said, you bet, I'm in, And so I put one of them in charge of the laundry basket and the other in charge of a bag that was not a laundry basket. And we went roaring up the road, and we talked, and we had a good time. And I found that 4 years ago, they don't just pull people's fingernails out. They actually are good conversationalists. And so we had a good time, and so I said, okay, so hey, stop by any time for coffee or whatever you have. And in that time, I did my circumnavigation of the Mediterranean coast of Spain with a windsurfer. And the first place I stopped, and this eased the worry about the Basque thing, I came in with the windsurfer and I landed, and the man comes over and he talks to me in Spanish, and he says, can I try your windsurfer? I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to be relaxing for a half hour or so. I said, so, do you want me to tell you anything? He says, I'll try to figure it out. So he goes and he plays with me. He comes back and we sit there and we talk for a while. And I said, so where are you from? He said, I'm from the Basque Country, and I'm a speedwalker, so I live up in the mountains. But he said, it's a small town, but he says, I'm a teacher. And I said, so how's that going anyway? And he said, well, he says, it's an ecstatic time. He says, for the first time in 40 years, a teacher, a Basque teacher in the Basque Country can teach his students in the Basque language. And he says, that's quite an accomplishment. And so we went on, and so there were several stories like this as I navigated the coast. But okay, a year later, we're getting more and more of these Basque terrorists, and I never figured out what more they wanted other than to have their children talk in their own language. And but they kept being threats, and so the city would shut down. So this particular morning was a bad time because I had people coming in from three different airlines, and I was supposed to give demonstrations and presentations. And so I said, okay, road stoppage or no road stoppage, I'm going to get to work and I'm going to do this presentation. And I won't be stopped by anything. So I went down to my trusty Fiat and we drove away. And I decided that if the center of Madrid was a clock, then up here at 11 o'clock would be the stoppage. And at 2 o'clock would be where I was. And at 7 o'clock would be a lot of interference. But if that interference were to pass, by the time I reached 9 o'clock, I would have a straight shot into where I worked. So I took off. And this beat-up car just loved to run. And this thing had no fear. When we got to this 9 o'clock place, after a lot of things that were stopped, any other car, we were approaching this landfill, and it was like, say, half mile square. And I said, okay, I'm not going to be able to, it's a long way around either way that I go. It's a long way around. What do I do with this landfill? And I said to the car, okay, baby, we're going to hit this thing full speed. So we hit the land. We drove through refrigerators. We drove through refrigerator cartons, through televisions, old wreckages, pieces of houses, everything that you can figure would be in a landfill were there. They were in our way, and we went straight through it at full speed. And I looked up, and the road that I would take on the other side of the landfill that came into where I worked was on the other side of the landfill, but between that road and the landfill was a deep ditch. So I said, you're going to have to jump that ditch. So I gunned it and we jumped the ditch. But when we jumped the ditch, the car sat down in the middle of that road and quit. And I looked and there's traffic coming from both ways. I wasn't worried, cranked it up, did a righty, and went on toward work. I got into another town, there was a stoppage there. This town was completely shut down, I had to get to this town. I go down to the creek, turn onto the creek. I drove a mile up the creek, came out on the road, turned into the place where I worked, and the car looked like hell, but the guard said, they called me the Chio Grande, crazy, big crazy knife. That's another story. So I went in and I did the presentation. Everything came out okay. All right. Several days later, I parked the car and I came out and it wouldn't start. So then I was on a downhill, so I coasted downhill away from where I lived to a more vacant area and parked the car. There's a rule in Spain that if a car is on the road for so long, it's up for grabs. So if you park your car more than 5 days, anybody can come along and claim that car. And that's exactly what happened, and I didn't see the car again. 2 years later, and it was July, almost, it was nearing the 1st of July, and San Fermin, Fiesta de San Fermin was coming up. Mm-hmm. You can tell because there's a song, Uno de Nero, Dope de Febrero, Trade Mark, Cuatro de Abril, Cinco de Mayo, Seis de Junio, Siete de Julio, San Fermin. And so my friend Jim picked me up at the airport, and I was going to go with him to Pamplona, which, as it happens, is in Basque Country. And so he picks me up, and we're headed across the parking lot, and I see this Fiat. And it looks just like my Fiat. And the closer I get to it, the more homey I start to feel about this car. And I get closer, I said, this really looks like my Fiat. And I said, there's one way to tell. There's a tear in the upholstery above the right rear seat. And I looked, and there was this. That was my car. It was found. But I said, what am I going to do with the car? I don't live in Spain. I don't want a car in Spain. I don't care how many Dutch tourists plates it has, I don't need it. And so I left the car and I went with Gentleman Rosa to the running of the bulls, and it was the best time I ever had problems anywhere, because there was something like, I guess, 200,000 or 300,000 visitors in town, and I never saw a fight or a scuffle. I never saw a problem. I never saw anybody arguing or fighting or disagreeing. And I can't imagine that happening here. Maybe I don't see one. Anyway, so it wasn't really a kind of a lost and found story. It was a found and lost